nanohub.org.
Online simulation and more for nanotechnology.
This is a brief introduction to the FET Toy Simulator, which is available on the NanoHub. A brief description of the functions performed by the tool will be introduced, followed by a quick overview of the problems tackled with the FET Toy Simulator and proceeding components of this learning module. The purpose of the FET Toy Simulator is to compute the ballistic IV characteristics for several MOSFETs. These include conventional MOSFETs, for which the user may specify the device as having either single or double gates. Nanowire MOSFETs, which are considered only for cylindrical geometries, and carbon nanotube MOSFETs, which are also considered as having cylindrical geometry. For more information on this tool, please go to the following reference. This learning module works out 7 examples for the FET Toy Simulator, which are designed to demonstrate both the operation and capability of this simulator. The first example deals with the influence of the gate oxide thickness on MOSFET characteristics. The second example explores the influence of carrier effective mass on MOSFET characteristics. The third example studies the influence of the material used for the channel. The fourth one examines two-dimensional electrostatics. The fifth compares P and N-type MOSFETs. The sixth discusses extracting figures of merit for MOSFETs. And the seventh and final example discusses finding the figures of merit for nanowire MOSFETs. This is the solution to problem 1. The problem statement is as follows. Traditional MOSFET models tell us that ID is proportional to Cox, so reducing the oxide thickness by a factor of 2 doubles the current. Let's see what happens for nanotransistors. 1. Explore the role of gate oxide thickness on the on current of a ballistic silicon MOSFET. For these calculations, you should use 1D electrostatics, gate control parameter equal 1 and drain control parameter equal 0, and vary the oxide thickness from 10 nanometers to the unphysically small value of 0.01 nanometers. Assume VDD equals 1 volt and room temperature operation. 1A. Produce a plot of the on current, the current for VG equal to VD equal to VDD versus oxide thickness. Compare the computed result to the result expected from conventional MOSFET theory, ID proportional to Cox, by approximately plotting the actual result and the trend expected from traditional theory. 1B. Provide a physical explanation for the shape of your plot. The characteristics should change when the oxide thickness is smaller than a certain value. Can you give a simple equation to estimate that value? Hint: it is the gate capacitance that matters. The oxide capacitance is in series with the semiconductor or quantum capacitance. First, we will use FETToy to find the value for the on current versus Tox equals to 10 nanometers. This value, which we will label ID0, will be used as a starting point for our graph of on-current versus Tox for conventional MOSFET theory. To do this, first enter the parameters into FETToy to match the following screens. Press Simulate. The following screen should appear, revealing that ID at VG equal to 1 volt is 320 microamps per micrometer. Notice that we were interested in the topmost curve because that is where VD equals 1 volt. And on current is drain current where VG and VD are VDD. Now that we have a starting point, we can derive a plot of ion versus Tox using conventional MOSFET theory. In conventional MOSFET theory, ID is proportional to Cox. Therefore, ID is proportional to Eox over Tox, or ID is inversely proportional to Tox. Since ID0 was found to be 320 microamps per micrometer, we conclude that ID is equal to 320 microamps per micrometer times 10 nanometers over Tox. A graph of ID versus Tox is shown for the conventional case, using ID equal to 3.2 microamps over Tox, and Tox varying logarithmically from 0.01 nanometer to 10 nanometer. As expected, this is an x-inverse graph through the point 10 nanometer ID0. In the graph shown, the units of ID are amp per meter, and the units of Tox are meter. Following this conventional MOSFET theory, we see that there is no limit to how large ID can become, providing that we can make TEOX small enough. Following the procedure outlined at the start of this presentation to obtain simulated data points of on-current versus oxide thickness for the desired range, will produce the new black trace, labeled simulated. It is clear at this point that the results from FET-TOI deviate from the conventional results as the oxide thickness decreases. Let's now discuss the cause of the difference between the conventional and simulated plots. In conventional theory, it is assumed that ID is proportional to COX. In FET-TOI, however, ID is proportional to CG, where CG is COX in series with CQ. If CQ is much greater than COX, then CG approaches COX, and the conventional theory still works. However, if we cannot assume CQ much greater than COX, then the conventional theory will not work. We see that the assumption that CQ is much greater than COX cannot be made as the thickness of the oxide decreases. This is because as TEOX decreases, COX is made larger and larger, thus making it less and less likely that CQ will be much greater than COX. The quantum capacitance can be computed as Q squared D, and for silicon this is 2.54 E-5 farads per centimeter squared. To find the TEOX for which the ID characteristic starts to change, let's say that COX much greater than CQ implies that the assumption fails when COX is equal to CQ. So, solving COX equal to CQ for TEOX gives TEOX equal to EOX over CQ, thus TEOX equal to 0.136 nanometers. This is the solution to problem 2. The problem statement is as follows. One might think that a lighter effective mass would give a transistor higher current, because with a lighter mass, current travels faster. This exercise will demonstrate that this is not always the case. 2. Explore the role of effective mass on the on-current of a ballistic silicon MOSFET. For this calculation, you should also use 1D electrostatics, gate control parameter equal 1, and drain control parameter equal 0, and vary the effective mass from 10 m0 to 0.01 m0. Assume VDD equals 1 volt and room temperature operation. 2a. Produce a plot of the on current, the current for VG equal VD equal VDD, versus effective mass. You might expect the on current to be proportional to the velocity, which is inversely proportional to the square root of the effective mass. Compare your plot against this expectation by approximately plotting the result. 2b. Provide a physical explanation for the shape of your plot, that is, explain why the plot of ID on versus M star has a maximum. Hint, consider the influence of the quantum capacitance. First, we will use FET-TOI to find the value for the on current versus effective mass equal to 10 M0. This value, which we will label ID0, will be used as a starting point for our graph of on current versus TEOX for conventional MOSFET theory. Press simulate. The following screen should appear, revealing that ID at VG equal to 1 volt is 294 microamps per micrometer. Notice that we are interested in the topmost curve because that is where VD is equal to 1 volt. And on current is drain current where VG and VD are equal to VDD. In conventional MOSFET theory, ID is equal to charge Q times velocity V, where velocity is inversely proportional to the square root of the effective mass. Therefore, we conclude that ID is inversely proportional to the square root of the effective mass. Using the current point we found in the previous slide to find the proportionality constant that relates ID to effective mass, we conclude that ID is equal to 8.874 e to the negative 13 microamps per micrometer square root kilograms over the square root of effective mass. We can factor out a square root of M0 and find that ID is equal to 929.7 microamps per micrometer times the square root of M0 over effective mass. A graph of ID versus M effective is shown for the conventional case using ID equal to 929.7 microamps per micrometer times the square root of M0 over M effective. In this plot, M effective over M0 is varied logarithmically from 0.01 to 10 and has no units. The units used for drain current is amps per meter. As expected, this is an inverse of square root of x graph, Using this conventional theory, there is no limit on how large ID can become, provided that the ratio M effective over M naught can be made small enough. Following the procedure outlined at the start of this presentation to obtain simulated data points of on-current versus effective mass for the desired range will produce the new black trace labeled simulated. It is clear at this point that the results from FETTOY deviate from the conventional results as the effective mass decreases. Let's examine why this deviation occurred. Recall that ID is equal to charge Q times injection velocity V, where charge is equal to gate capacitance CG times gate voltage VG minus threshold voltage VT. In conventional theory, it is always assumed that CG is equal to oxide capacitance COX. That is, the quantum capacitance CQ is ignored. In FETTOY, however, CG is equal to COX times CQ over COX plus CQ, where we know that CQ is directly proportional to M effective, as shown. If CQ is much greater than COX, then CG approaches COX, and conventional theory holds. However, as we decrease M effective, CQ much greater than COX fails, and CG decreases. Since ID is equal to Q times V injection is equal to CG times VG minus VT times V injection, we see that a decrease in CG will cause a decrease in ID. Thus, even though V injection increases as M effective decreases, CG decreases as M effective decreases, causing the gained current to increase by less than is predicted by the conventional model. So far, we understand why the drain current starts to taper off as M effective decreases. But our plot shows that as M effective decreases, that ID will eventually start to decrease. To understand why this happens, let's decrease M effective even further. Eventually, as we continue to decrease M effective, we expect that CQ will be much less than COX, and thus CG will approach CQ. When that happens, we can write ID is equal to CQ times VG minus VT times V injection, which implies that ID is proportional to M effective times V injection. Since we know that V injection is inversely proportional to the square root of M effective, we can further say that ID is proportional to M effective over the square root of M effective, or that ID is proportional to the square root of M effective. That is, ID is no longer inversely proportional to the square root of M effective, but actually proportional to the square root of M effective. In other words, we can write ID is inversely proportional to the square root of M effective if CQ is much greater than COX, or ID is proportional to the square root of M effective if CQ is much less than COX. This relationship shows that as effective mass decreases, ID will tend to a maximum until CQ is much less than COX becomes true, at which point ID will tend towards zero as effective mass further decreases. This is the solution to problem 3. The problem statement is as follows. There is considerable interest these days in exploring the use of alternative channel materials such as germanium, gallium arsenide, and indium arsenide. How much performance advantage can be expected from these new materials? 3. Compare the on-currents of ballistic silicon, germanium, gallium arsenide, and indium arsenide, and MOSFETs. For this calculation, you should also use 1D electrostatics. Gate control parameter equal 1 and drain control parameter equal 0. Assume VDD is 1 volt, room temperature operation, and select the appropriate effective mass and valley degeneracies for each case. 3A. Assume an insulator thickness of 5 nanometers and a dielectric constant of 3.9. Simulate the 4 ballistic MOSFETs and compare their on currents. 3b. Assume an insulator thickness of 0.5 nanometers and a dielectric constant of 3.9. Simulate the 4 ballistic MOSFETs and compare their on currents. The following table contains the necessary material parameters to complete this problem. The important thing to note is the decreasing effective masses. First, we will consider part A, which has TOX equal to 5 nanometers. For this part, all 4 N MOSFETs are considered as having the same insulator, so we match the parameters as shown. For silicon, we match the parameters in the device section as shown. Press Simulate. The simulation output screen above should appear, revealing that ID at VG equal to 1 volt is 672 microamps per micrometer. Notice that we are interested in the topmost curve, because that is where VD is equal to 1 volt. And on current is drain current, where VG and VD are equal to VDD. Repeating the procedure for the remaining three materials will yield the following table of results. Clearly, for TOX equal to 5 nanometers, we see that decreasing the effective mass of the materials, going from silicone to indium arsenide, results in higher on currents. This is the result we expect when considering the conventional theory. For part B, repeat the procedure previously described, but replace TOX equal to 5 nanometers with 0.5 nanometers. This will result in the following table. Clearly, for TOX equal to 0.5 nanometer, we see that decreasing the effective mass of the material results in lower on currents. This is not the result we expect when considering the conventional theory, and will be discussed in the following slides. For TOX equal to 5 nanometer, we find that decreasing effective mass does in fact increase on current. This implies that, most likely, CQ is much greater than COX, or perhaps that CQ is about equal to COX. We can verify this by recalling that CQ is directly proportional to M effective, which implies that the lowest quantum capacitance should be provided by indium arsenide. To find the quantum capacitance for indium arsenide, use the following formula for CQ, where NV is the Valley degeneracy. This will reveal that CQ is 1.54 E-6 farads per centimeter squared for indium arsenide. Comparing this to COX equal to EOX over TOX equal to 3.9 EOX over TOX equal to 6.91 E-7 farads per centimeter squared, we conclude that CQ is greater than COX. So, while CQ is not much greater than COX, COX is also not much greater than CQ. This shows that we are still within the conventional limit and have not yet entered the regime in which decreasing effective mass will actually increase on current as well. For TOX equal to 0.5 nanometers, we find that decreasing effective mass decreases on current. This implies that CQ is much less than COX. The quantum capacitance for indium arsenide, as found in the previous slide, is 1.54 E-6 farads per centimeter squared. The oxide capacitance is now increased by a factor of 10, since the oxide thickness is decreased by a factor of 10, and is 6.91 E-6 farad per centimeter squared. Since COX is almost 5 times greater than CQ, we conclude that CQ is much less than COX, so that we have now entered the region in which decreasing effective mass is expected to decrease current. More information on why on current decreases with effective mass for COX much greater than CQ can be found in the solution to problem 2, part B. This is the solution to problem 4. The problem statement is as follows. The on current is commonly used as a device metric, but the entire IV characteristic is important and a switching transient. How do the shapes of the IDS versus VDS characteristics of different MOSFETs compare? 4. Simulate ballistic silicon, germanium, gallium arsenide, and indium arsenide N MOSFETs using an insulator thickness of 1 nanometer. For this calculation, you should also use 1D electrostatics, gate control parameter equal to 1, and drain control parameter equal to 0. Assume VDD is equal to 1 volt, room temperature operation, and select the appropriate effective mass and valley degeneracies for each case. For this exercise, you only need to consider VG equal to VDD. 4A. Normalize each IDS versus VDS characteristic by plotting IDS over ION versus VDS. Plot all four results on the same set of axes and compare the shape. 4B. Discuss the results and provide a physical explanation for any differences that you observe. The following table contains the necessary material parameters to complete this problem. The important thing to note is the decreasing effective masses. For this problem, we will assume that the source terminal is grounded, so that VDS is equal to VD. Start by matching the parameters as shown, which will be universal for all materials. For silicon, match the parameters in the device section as shown. Press simulate. The simulation output screen displayed should result, revealing that ID at VG equal to 1 volt is 4230 microamps per micrometer. Notice that we are interested in the topmost curve because that is where VD is equal to 1 volt, and on current is drain current where VG and VD are equal to VDD. Now select the drain current versus drain voltage output screen. We are interested in the red topmost curve, that it is the curve for which VG is equal to 1 volt is equal to VDD. use the mouse to find the currents for the voltage levels. Divide the current levels by the on current found before. You should then make a plot of voltage versus normalized current for silicon. Plotting the data points found for silicon and repeating the procedure for the other materials results in the following plot. The plot shows that the materials reach an ID over ion value of 1 slower as their effective mass decreases. That is, their VD sat increases as effective mass decreases. The reason for this will be discussed in the next slide. Our observation is that M effective decreases, VD sat increases. For 1D electrostatics, Q is equal to VS times CG, where CG is the series capacitance of CQ and COX. So phi S is equal to COX over COX plus CQ, and CQ is equal to a constant times the effective mass. This tells us that the smaller CQ is, the larger phi S is, and the lower the potential barrier height is, as shown in the figure. Indium arsenide gets the lowest barrier height if all other conditions are the same. The current saturates when drain voltage exceeds the difference between the source Fermi level and the top of the barrier because the drain cannot inject electrons into the channel. Therefore, we conclude that a lower barrier height, which is caused by a lower effective mass, results in a higher VD sat. The problem statement is as follows. A silicon N MOSFET typically delivers about twice the on current of a silicon P MOSFET. This difference is commonly attributed to differences in carrier mobility and saturation velocity. What does a ballistic model predict? Simulate a ballistic silicon N MOSFET and a ballistic P MOSFET using 2 nanometers of SiO2 for the gate insulator, VDD equal to 1 volt, and assuming room temperature operation. For this calculation, you should also use 1D electrostatics, gate control parameter equal 1, and drain control parameter equal 0. You will need to identify the appropriate hole effective mass and valley degeneracy. A. Compare the on currents of the two MOSFETs and explain the difference. Why does the N MOSFET give higher current? B. Compare the low VDS channel resistances of the two MOSFETs and explain the difference. Is the ratio of channel resistances the same as the ratio of on currents? Provide a physical explanation for the result. C. Repeat part A and B for a 0.5 nanometer gate insulator. The required material parameters, effective mass and valley degeneracy for silicon NMOS and PMOS are shown in the following table. Notice that the effective mass of holes is greater than that of electrons. Because both MOSFETs in part A are assumed to have many common parameters, start by matching the following screens. For the silicon NMOS, match the following settings. When finished, press Simulate. The following screen should appear, revealing that ID at VG equal to 1 volt is 1.8983 microamps per micrometer. Notice that we are interested in the topmost curve because that is where VD is equal to 1 volt, and on current is drain current where VG and VDD are equal to VDD. While we have the simulation for the silicon N MOSFET up, let's extract the low VDS channel resistance. To do this, select the drain current versus drain voltage output screen, as shown. The low VDS channel resistance is found in the area shown. We are interested in the curve for VG equal to 1 volt. Taking 2-point measurements on the VG equal to 1 volt curve for small values of VDS will result in a channel resistance of 6.26 E-5 ohm meters. Following a similar procedure for the silicon P MOSFET will produce the values in the last column of the following table. Comparing the on currents for N MOSFET versus P MOSFET shows that the on current for the P MOSFET is about 2/3 that for the N MOSFET. In traditional MOSFET theory, ion is inversely proportional to the square root of effective mass, which explains why the N MOSFET, which has a smaller effective mass, provides larger on current. Following this conventional theory, the inverse ratio of square roots of effective masses should be equal to the ratio of on currents. Calculating the inverse ratio of square roots of effective masses, we see that it is indeed very similar to the ratio of on currents. Comparing the channel resistance for NMOS versus PMOS shows that the channel resistance for the NMOS is about 1/3 that of the PMOS. The PMOS provides a higher channel resistance. The ratio of on current does not match that of effective resistance. This is because our channel is directly related to the current in the linear region of operation, whereas on-current is related to the current in the saturated region of operation. Following the procedure demonstrated at the start of this presentation, with the exception of substituting TOX equal to 2 nanometers for TOX equal to 0.5 nanometers, will result in the following data. The ratio of on-current for the NMOS to PMOS has now decreased. This occurs due to the effect of the quantum capacitance. From part A, we know the ratio with CG equal to COX. Now, let's determine the ratio with CG equal to CQ to determine if we could ever get the current of the PMOS greater than that of the NMOS. If CG is equal to CQ, then the expression of the ratio of I on N to I on P becomes NVN times MFN times the square root of MFP over NVP times MFP times the square root of MFN. Since the valley degeneracy for NMOS is 2, and 1 for PMOS, the computed ratio is 1.2. Thus, no matter how large CQ becomes, the current of the NMOS will always surpass that of the PMOS for silicon. Moving on to the ratio of channel resistances, we see that it is now about twice as large. Despite this, however, the NMOS FET still provides more current and less resistance than the PMOS. The problem statement is as follows. In FETTOY, two-dimensional electrostatics is treated with a simple circuit model and two parameters, a gate control parameter and a drain control parameter. Simulate a ballistic silicon NMOS FET using an insulator thickness of 2 nanometers and VDD equal to 1 volt, and assume room temperature operation. A. Set the gate control parameter to 1 and the drain control parameter to 0 and run a simulation. Then examine the plot of charge Q versus VGS at high and low VDS. Explain what determines the slope of the two plots and how you can calculate the slope by hand. Also examine the charge versus VDS plot and explain why it is not constant. B. Adjust the gate and drain control parameters to give a sub-threshold swing of S equal 100 millivolts per decade and a DIBL of 100 millivolts per volt. Repeat the simulation, compare the results in part A, and explain the differences. C. Repeat parts A and B, but this time use an insulator thickness of 0.5 nanometers. First, begin by matching the following screens. Notice that for now we are looking at 1D electrostatics, hence the gate control parameter alpha G is 1, and the drain control parameter alpha D is 0. Press simulate, then select mobile charge over Q versus gate voltage. The following logarithmic plot should appear. Because the plot is logarithmic, it is not as helpful in observing the slope. To fix this, click the charge axis and select linear. Also change the axis range to that shown in the image. We can now examine the plot of Q versus VG for high and low VD, as shown. Notice that the slopes for the high and low VDS are very comparable. Finding the slope of the red curve gives slope H, the slope for high VDS, where in this case high is assumed to be 2 volts. Finding the slope of the blue curves gives slope L, the slope for low VDS, where in this case low is assumed to be 0.069 volts. These slopes are as shown. The values are given in farads per centimeter squared by multiplying the actual slopes by Q, the charge of an electron. To determine the slope of charge versus gate voltage by hand, first note that in 1D electrostatics, CD is equal to CS is equal to 0. Since gate voltage VG is equal to charge Q over gate capacitance CG, Q is equal to CG times VG. So we see that the slope is determined by CG. For our current simulation, we see that the oxide capacitance COX is equal to 3.9 E0 over TOX is equal to 1.73 E negative 6 farad per centimeter squared. This is very close to the slope found in the simulation. The reason that the slope is smaller than COX is that the quantum capacitance CQ is taken into account by FETTOY, which decreases the value of CG. The value of CQ for silicon is computed as shown. Computing CG with this CQ shows that CG is 1.45 E negative 6 farad per centimeter squared, which is closer to the slope than COX alone, as expected. Now select the mobile charge over Q versus drain voltage output. We see that the mobile charge is indeed not constant. Let's examine why. Since mobile charge over Q is N, the number of electrons in the device, looking at a predicted characteristic of N as VDS increases will give us the insight we need. To do so, note that for 1D electrostatics, phi s is equal to C ox over sigma times VG minus Q times N minus N naught over C sigma and has no dependence on the drain voltage VD. Then eta F1 is equal to EF1 minus EC flat band plus Q phi s over KBT and also has no dependence on VD. Eta 2, however, is equal to eta 1 minus Q times VD over KBT and does have a dependence on VD. Since F sub j of eta approaches e to the eta as eta approaches negative infinity, F naught of eta F2 approaches 0 as eta F2 approaches negative infinity, and eta F2 approaches negative infinity as VD approaches infinity. So we conclude that the term F naught of eta F2 is present for a very small VD and decreases to 0 as VD increases, leaving N equal to N2D times W times L over 2 times F naught of eta F1 with no effect from VD. For part B, we are to select the gate control parameter to give a sub-threshold swing, S, of 100 millivolts per decade. The formula for the gate control parameter is shown, and when the computation is carried out, we find that alpha G is equal to 0.595. Next, we are asked to select the drain control parameter to give a drain-induced barrier lowering, DIBL, of 100 millivolts per volt. The formula for the drain control parameter is shown, and when the computation is carried out, we find that alpha D is equal to 0.059. For more information about these formulas, please refer to the notes on ballistic MOSFET in this learning module. Now, returning our attention to the FETTOY simulator, select the Models tab and change the parameters as shown. Press Simulate and select the Mobile Charge over Q versus Gate Voltage Output screen as shown. It is immediately clear that a shift between high and low VDS occurs. The reason for this is that we have now selected a DIBL. The slopes of the two curves are computed for reference. Both slopes are now smaller than they were in the 1D case. This difference is caused by no longer being able to say that the drain capacitance, CD, is equal to zero. Now select the mobile charge over Q versus drain voltage output. The result is as shown. Notice that the charge is no longer independent of the drain voltage as drain voltage increases. This is because there is now a drain capacitance as defined by the drain control parameter. When drain voltage increases, charge now accumulates on the drain capacitance, causing the overall charge to increase. The positive slope in the figure can thus be deduced to be equal to the drain capacitance, CD. For part C, we are asked to repeat the exercise in part A and B, but with an insulator thickness of 0.5 nanometers. To do this, replace the line shown with 0.5 nanometers and press Simulate. Using the same procedure explained previously, we get the following result for charge versus gate voltage. We see that the difference in slope between high and low VDS is more pronounced for this smaller T-ox. This is because this smaller T-ox results in a larger C-ox and thus a larger slope. The slope is smaller than C-ox. This is because C-ox is now large enough, compared to CQ, to have CQ contribute significantly to the overall capacitance. The result is a lower gate capacitance, CG. For reference, C-ox and CG are shown. CG, which takes the CQ computed previously for silicon into account, is a much better approximation of the slope. Here we see the 1D electrostatic result for charge versus drain voltage. Here the charge drops over a larger range of drain voltage than in the lower oxide capacitance situation. This is because for light gate voltages, the surface potential phi s gets larger than in the lower COX case, on account of the now larger capacitance. Here we see that a shift in the high and low VDS curves has again occurred, as it did in part B. The slopes, which represent CG, are smaller than in the 1D case because of the effect of the drain capacitance, CD. Finally, here we see the 2D result for drain voltage versus charge. The problem statement is as follows. Nanowire transistors are getting a lot of attention these days. They seem to operate more nearly as SP FETs than as MOSFETs, but it's interesting to see what might happen if nanowire MOSFETs can be realized. The exercise below will get you calibrated on silicon nanowire MOSFETs. Examine the IV characteristics of a hypothetical silicon nanowire MOSFET. Assume D is equal to 1 nanometer and that the insulator is 2 nanometers of silicon dioxide and that VDD is equal to 0.5 volts. Use an approximate threshold voltage of VT equal to 0.2 volts and assume room temperature operation. A. Compute ID versus VDS at T equal to 300K and compare the low VDS drain conductance GD with the quantum conductance 4E squared over H. B. Repeat problem I, but at T equal to 77K. The channel conductance versus VGS is strikingly different than the conventional MOSFET. Explain how. C. Beyond current can be written as ID equal to CG times average V injection times VGS minus VT. Deduce CG, average V injection, and VT. First, begin by matching the following screens, which give the required parameters for the nanowire FET. Press Simulate. Select drain current versus drain voltage as shown. From here, we can extract the low VDS drain conductance. This is done by finding the slope of the highlighted region. The quantum conductance, 4E squared over H, is 1.55E negative 5 Siemens in comparison. The low VDS drain conductance is about 1/3 of the quantum conductance. Let's keep increasing VG to see what happens to the conductance. Change the values for final gate voltage and number of gate voltage bias points as shown. Press Simulate and select drain current versus drain voltage. Taking a measurement of the slope of the graph for the largest VG shows that GD is equal to 1.55E negative 4 Siemens. This GD applies for all VG approximately larger than 1.5 volts. For part B, start by changing the temperature as shown. Also change the final gate voltage and number of gate voltage bias points back to 0.5 volts and 2, respectively. Press Simulate. Select drain current versus drain voltage as shown, and for reference, select all. From here, we can see that Vsat is less for this temperature than for 300K. However, we also see that the low VDS drain conductance is greater. This drain conductance, found from the highlighted region, is seen to be 8.84E−5 Siemens. This implies that at low temperatures, the nanowire FET will reach the quantum conductance value at a lower value of gate voltage than at higher temperatures. Let's keep increasing VG to see what happens to the conductance. Change the values for final gate voltage and number of gate voltage bias points as shown. Press Simulate and select drain current versus drain voltage. Taking a measurement of the slope of the graph for the largest VG shows that GD is equal to 1.55E−4 Siemens. This GD applies for all VG approximately larger than 0.1 volts. Let's now look at a comparison of the behavior of a conventional MOSFET versus a nanowire FET. For a conventional MOSFET, we know that the channel conductance increases linearly with gate voltage. This is because the channel conductance, GC, is equal to M times 2 times Q squared over H, where M is the number of occupied transverse modes. Because a traditional MOSFET typically has a large width, M increases continuously with gate voltage. On the other hand, a graph of GC versus VG for a nanowire FET shows that the gate conductance increases in quantized step pattern, especially at low temperatures. This is because the nanowire FET confines the transport to one dimension, and thus the number of transverse modes do not increase continuously as VG increases, but rather increase in quantized steps as VG increases. For part C, begin by matching the following screens, which give the required parameters for the nanowire FET. For this example, we go back to 300K. Note that we now plot 30 points for the gate voltage. Press Simulate. The following on current is found. To find the simulation value of threshold voltage, we need to first change the axis to linear and to the range shown. Using the graphical method shown to obtain VT shows that it is 0.2 volts as entered. The gate capacitance is equal to the slope of the charge versus gate capacitance plot. Select the mobile charge over Q versus gate voltage plot and change the axis to linear within the range shown. Since mobile charge over Q is equal to N, the number of electrons in the device, and Cg is equal to Q times dN dVg, we find the slope of the red curve and multiply by Q to find Cg. Finally, we can compute the average velocity as ion over Cg times Vg minus Vt, which results in an average initial velocity of 6.71 E6 centimeters per second.